I'll be using this flame later. Fire marshal, note the safety precautions I'm taking there. As I was reading through the 52 chapters of the prophet Jeremiah's story this week, it rekindled this black gospel song in my heart. Perhaps you've heard it. It's just like fire, it's just like fire, it's just like fire. Shut up in my bones. You heard that one? It's just like fire, it's just like fire, it's just like fire. Shut up in my bones. Anyone listen to that one? You must have missed that one. Based on Jeremiah 20. It's just like fire, it's just like fire, it's just like fire. Shut up in my bones. Jeremiah could not shut up. If you read through the book of Jeremiah, you read his message of God's judgment, house cleaning, warning of impending doom. And it's like fire shut up in his bones. His words and God's prophetic words blaze. And Jeremiah singes and sears all the landscape around him. No one is spared from the word of the Lord when Jeremiah is in or near the house of the Lord. What do you see, Jeremiah? Lord, I see a boiling pot tilting away from the north, tilting towards the south. Out of the north, disaster shall break out on all the inhabitants of the land. What do you see now, Jeremiah? Lions! The lions roar against Israel. They plunder. They make the land a wasteland. The cities are in ruins without inhabitants. You treat the wounds of my people carelessly, he cries out, saying, peace, peace, where there is no peace. But in the end, it's a matter of tears and shame and death. Human corpses falling like dung upon the open field, like sheaves behind the reaper. And no one shall gather them. So drink, get drunk, vomit, fall and rise no more because of the sword that I am sending among you. A great guy to have at the cocktail party, right? For 20 years, he's railing against Israel, warning of impending doom. No wonder in chapter 16, God wanted this guy to stay single. And so we come to chapter 36. We wind our way to one of Jeremiah's greatest adversaries, King Jehoiakim, sitting on the throne of David, large and in charge of worship for the people of God. He's taking care of the temple, and he's living the high life. He was one of the richest money-making kings of his time. And things were good in Jerusalem in 610 BCE. The people of God were paying their bills, they were turning a profit even, and living in the lap of religious luxury. Sure, the kingdoms to the north were getting upended, but all was well in Jerusalem. The temple was here. Surely God would not let us be overtaken by our enemies. Remember, we're God's chosen people. And so Jeremiah's prophetic rants and rebukes continue. This is what the Lord says. Do what is just and right. Rescue from the hand of his oppressor the one who has been robbed. Do no wrong or violence to the alien, the fatherless, or the widow. And do not shed innocent blood in this place. For if you are careful to carry out these commands, then kings who sit on David's throne will come through the gates of this palace, riding in chariots and on horses, accompanied by their officials and their people. But if you do not obey these commands, declares the Lord, I swear by myself that this palace will become a ruin. Jeremiah was such a thorn in the side of the king and religious rulers, his name had been put on the do not let this guy into the temple courts list. And so he's trying to get his message out, and he's not even allowed to worship in the temple courts anymore. So he leans upon his budding mentoree, Baruch, who's also become his premier scribe for all things prophetic. And Jeremiah says, I'm prevented from entering the house of the Lord, so you go yourself. And on a fast day, in the hearing of the people in the Lord's house, you shall read the words of the Lord from the scroll that you've written at my dictation. And Baruch did all that the prophet told him. He read from the scroll the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And words of his subversive deeds got to the ears of King Jehoiakim. So Jehoiakim sends his servant Jehudi to get the scroll and commands him to read it as he sits by a warm fire, nestled in his fine fur robes in the chilly season of the ninth month. Imagine King Jehoiakim. Perhaps he swirls some cognac and smokes a big fatty Cuban cigar, listening to Jeremiah's relentless words of judgment. God planted you and your people as a choice vine from purest stock, and now you have turned degenerate and become a wild vine. All the lye and the soap of the world will not wash away the stains of your guilt. You have the forehead of a whore. This is in the Bible, chapter 3, verse 3. You refuse to be ashamed. You are foolish. You no longer know me. You're like stupid children who have no understanding, skilled in doing evil, but do not know how to do good. God feeds you and you troop to the house of prostitutes, like well-fed, lusty stallions, neighing for your neighbor's wives. Jehoiakim smiles. He smirks. He guffaws. He rolls his eyes. He has Jehudi read three or four columns at a time. What does he do? He takes his penknife. Read on, Jehudi, read on. Well, let me see. The forehead of a whore? Whatever. Burn! Burn! Cut it! Cut it! Burn! He does this until the entire scroll is consumed in the brazier. In this season of life at First Baptist Church, we're preaching through these crazy stories of God. Messy, convoluted, wild, dangerous, violent stories. And trying to find where we fit in. Trying to get hooked and crooked by these stories. So this morning, I want us to try to cozy up to Jehoiakim. I thought about cozying up to Jeremiah, but he's a Looney Tune. 40 years from age 17 to 60, he's preaching and teaching like he has fire shut up in his bones. So come alongside Jehoiakim. Maybe join me in the maniacal laugh. For we, like Jehoiakim, live in a tumultuous world. Some of us hear messages like, it's the end of the world and we know it. Kingdoms and countries around us failing, perishing, economies crumbling, uprisings right before our very own eyes. We say things like, this is unbelievable. I never thought I'd see a day when, .. when Britain would vote to exit the economic union? When a billionaire businessman and reality TV star is now the 45th president of the United States of America? Or even as we prayed today, we can't imagine 300,000 lives in Aleppo being bombed. These lives laying in ruin, 85,000 of them children, and the world just watches on. So insert your unbelievable truth here. Maybe Jeremiah's prophetic crazy words aren't so crazy. Mighty warriors shall eat up your harvest and your food. They shall eat up your sons and your daughters. They shall eat up your flocks and your herds. They shall eat up your vines and your fig trees. They shall destroy with the sword your fortified cities in which you trust. How do we sit alongside Jehoiakim? Are we self-satisfied? Are we optimistic? Are we invulnerable? Sitting by the warmth of a fire or the lighted screens of our smartphones, maybe swirling cognac or drinking hot chocolate with 14 lovely marshmallows in it? It couldn't possibly happen to us, could it? We too forget who we are. We ignore the plight of the needy. We push the problems to the margins, and in the midst of our imaginations, we're just too busy to get involved. Now, I am not standing before you wagging a finger on behalf of God just because I have the microphone and the text of the day. Because I know that we come to this place week after week, humbly as seekers. We worship, we pray, we confess to our living God, even as we've already done today, that yes, we are not enough. Yes, we fall short of the glory of God, and yes, we desire to live as a people who listen to God's heart, who try to draw from God's word and God's story to have our lives animated by the life of Jesus and the Spirit. And as we put on our bulletin week after week, we are seeking the peace and well-being of this city and even cities of the world. But Jeremiah's words ought to prod us and pick at us. They ought to reawaken us, because that's what prophetic words do, and empower us to maybe put down the cup and look for and live out good news in these days. And the good news of Jeremiah is nestled in what many Bible commentators call the book of comfort. So in the 52 chapters of Jeremiah, there's a book within the book. The book of comfort is Jeremiah chapter 30 to 33, surrounded by 49 other chapters of rebuke, doom, and prophetic judgment. And so that's the book I want us to draw life from today, the book within the book. There's 1,000 verses and 1,000 voices that tell us we're not good enough. Yes, we do fall short. But that is not the final word. The final words are in this book of comfort, chapters 30 to 33. So don't read the book of Jeremiah without using that as your springboard for life and hope and promise. God does not give up. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. The Lord says, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. In this part of the wrestling match, The story between God and Israel. God finally says, enough! I won't write my message on another stone tablet or another scroll or another piece of parchment. This new covenant is all about me. I am. I will bring it to pass. I will keep the covenant. I will carry the covenant promises forward. I will write my law, my love, upon the hearts of my people. It will not be on your shoulders to make this work. It will not be on your conscience to make it last. Yahweh says, you will all know me, the least, the greatest. I will forgive your sinful ways and remember your sins no more. Thanks be to God. Can I get a witness? Amen. It's not on us. It's on God. And over the past few weeks, I hope you're seeing this emerging theme among the prophets. Yes, they speak of a God who will bring his judgment and wrath upon the nations. But in the end, God's judgment gets consumed in the fire of God's love. For Jonah, in the belly of a whale, immobilized by all those gastric juices, God comes to him and says, I've got this. For Isaiah, meeting the Lord of Lords and finding himself undone in the temple, God comes to Isaiah, cleanses his mouth with a coal of fire, soothes and heals him. God says, I've got this. And so it is with Jeremiah. 49 chapters of judgment and doom on either side of this book of comfort. And God says, I've got this. That's the God we love. That's the God we worship. That's the God that we take our cues from as we try to be ambassadors of good news for all the earth. And so, if we're sitting with Jehoiakim today, the way that we get out of the rut or that place of self-confidence, complacency, is to look to Jeremiah, to look to this comfort book, to look to Jeremiah as companion. Eugene Peterson writes that in Jeremiah we find a companion who's lived through catastrophe, disruption, and survived with grace. So let us receive him as a true and honest God-revealing friend for the worst of times, who reassures us that no matter what, God has loved us with an everlasting love, and will continue his faithfulness to us. Ethan Magnus, a devotional writer for a ministry called Mockingbird, echoes this sentiment. He says, while the old covenant teaches that you will become accepted once you are acceptable, the new covenant proclaims that you are accepted already. Right here and now, you stand forgiven of everything you've done and will ever do. This is what it means to be a Christian, to learn to cope with the audacious nonsense of this new covenant. I love that last phrase. This is what it means to be a Christian, to learn to cope with the audacious nonsense of this new covenant. The God of Israel says to Israel and to us, the new people of God, I will put my law within you. I've got this. I will write my law of love on your hearts, and I will be your God. It's all on him. Our God reigns.
We will continue our worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings.